You know, as we have been studying about the book of Daniel, and we want to encourage you, if you can, to come and be with us as we study this book. There's a lot that will connect with this book that I'm about to read out of. And I've kind of put myself out on a limb that we might even try to teach from the book of the Revelation. So we ask that you pray with us in that, pray for us in that regard. But we find in the book of Daniel, there was the appearance of a great image that the king had dreamed about. Now, this is not necessarily what we're going to preach from, but we just want to contrast it today with what we will read about and what we'll speak about today. But this image that Nebuchadnezzar saw was an image that was representative of all the world's empires that would come at that point in time. And whenever that you go down the line, the head of gold, the arms of silver, the breast of brass, the thighs of brass, the 10 toes of clay and iron, they all represent empires that have wanted to have dominion over all of the earth. They have fought wars over this, and they have endeavored, they've struggled, they want to be the supreme leader. And from my understanding, there may be yet one, the Antichrist, that will come that will try to exert that same power. But I want you to know that the title for all of this that's going to be ruled over one day is reserved for one individual and one individual alone. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is worthy of all honor, all praise, and all glory. We're going to read this morning from the first chapter of the book of the Revelation. If you have your Bible with you, we invite you to come along with us and read along with us as we look at this book and this chapter today. The first chapter of the book of the Revelation, and we're going to start with the fourth verse. Now, I know there's a greeting that prefaces it, but we're going to kind of skip past that a little bit for our thought and theme today. In the fourth verse of the first chapter of the book of the Revelation, we find these words by John the Beloved, the one that Christ said, or that he said of himself, the disciple that Jesus loved. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is. Now, whenever you see this phrase, kind of lock this into your mind, which is, which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits that are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha, I am Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos and Thyatira, unto Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, here's where we want to base our thoughts today, these next few verses of Scripture. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and turned, and I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire. His feet likened unto fine brass, as they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell down as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I'm the first, and I'm the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. If correctly read today, this includes the fourth down through the 18th verses of the first chapter of the book of the Revelation. Our thought will come from two places, actually, for our theme today. From the first time that Christ spoke unto John the Revelator, if you will, he said, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. He identified himself. I'm Alpha, I'm Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. And then at last, whenever that he reassured John of what he was seeing, he said, Fear not, I am the first, I am the last, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have, and he does still to this day, have the keys of death and hell. And our thought will be, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, time will not do justice today to all that Christ Jesus is. This is all that I know to preach upon today in these last days in which that we live. Because I want you to know, not only is he conqueror, he's Savior unto those who will come unto God through him. No one is getting into heaven except they come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless they've had an experience of grace with him. There's a book that was written by a man that had been imprisoned back in the 1600s in England for preaching the gospel. His name was John Bunyan. And in his book, Pilgrim's Progress, he likened our journey unto a journey that a man is making towards a city. But before that he could get to that city, he had to come to terms with the cross. It was in his pathway. And he was carrying a knapsack. And he had to cut that knapsack off of his back. And he had to come by the way of the cross. And I want you to know today in this age, before the Christ comes, for people to have that assurance that they're going to heaven today, they're going to have to come by the way of the cross. You're going to have to deal with it. Because Christ Jesus died to undo what Adam had done. But when an individual stands in judgment today, he stands to be judged as to what he did with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do believe that with all my heart that there will come a time when the gospel will go into every land, into every corner of this globe. I don't know how God will do it. That's why he's God and I'm me. But I want you to know it says in one place, and this gospel must needs be preached in all the world for a witness, then cometh the end. But our thought will be about him that is the Alpha and the Omega. Now, John was on the Isle of Patmos in approximately 90 or 96 A.D. He had been sent there in exile by the Emperor Domitian. Persecution was hot upon the Christians in that day and in that time. Most of them had been martyred. They'd been either crucified, or they had been beheaded, or they'd been stoned, or they'd been thrown to lions, or they'd been speared by gladiators in a coliseum. But for some reason, God didn't allow that to happen to John. And I think we're reading this book today. Here's the reason why that God spared John, was to write about this revelation of Christ Jesus today. He says that Jesus is the faithful witness. Everything that he says about himself is faithful. He's faithful unto us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never betray you as I was betrayed. I will be with you even unto the end of the world. He's the first begotten of the dead. I want to tell you, he's the only one that has been resurrected. Someone will say, well, what about Lazarus? What about this? What about that? Lazarus came back from the dead. Christ Jesus was resurrected with a glory that you and I will see someday. He's the first begotten, or if you will, the firstborn of those that sleep. Now, that's not soul sleeping. That's where that the body is separated from the spirit. That's what, if Jesus tarries, we'll all experience. And I believe, my friend, that whenever that we face that, when we come to that, Christ will be there for us, because he's going to be the pilot, if you will, to take us into eternity to live with him forevermore. He has washed us in his own blood. The Bible tells us over in Romans chapter 3, being therefore justified, we have been redeemed through his blood. And I want you to know, my friend, that's what gets us into heaven. It's not going to be the good works we have done. It's not going to be today how that we have done this or done that. Good works are fine. I encourage you as a child of God to do good works. That's what you have been chosen for. But my friend, I want you to know what gets us there is going to be a blood-stained soul. And I want you to know he knows those that are his and those that are not today. And he's made us kings and priests unto God. So says 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Do you know that God has imbibed his faith in you all today? That he has given unto you that role. We're priests. We are kings. We don't forgive sin. We don't tell somebody that they're saved. But we do what a priest used to do in the tabernacle. We go into the presence of God on behalf of somebody else. That's what Christ has done for us. That's what he is going to do for us. And he is coming back with clouds. Now, someone is saying, well, now, preacher, over in the 19th chapter of Revelation, it says that he will come upon a white horse, and the thousands upon thousands of the saints will be with him. Notice what this says. He is coming with clouds. He didn't say he's coming upon a cloud. I've never ridden a horse very much, but I hope he's got that taken care of. You know, I may have to ask for a bicycle or whatever. But we are, as saints of God, if we've gone on to be with him, we're going to be in that number. You'll be the army of God. You'll be following after the commander-in-chief, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the beginning of what John saw. He saw the resurrected Christ. And during this time, John was imbued and he was filled with the Holy Spirit so that God could prepare him for what he was about to see. And one of the first things that got his attention was a voice like the sound of a trumpet. I used to play a trumpet in band years and years ago. But my friend, it's not like his voice. It's not like what it's going to be like whenever that we hear the trump of God sound. And my friend, the declaration that time is no more. And my friend, the eastern sky split wide open and the Lord Jesus Christ come back. My friend, whenever that takes place, we're going to be like John. We're going to hear it. And we're going to know what's going on. And I believe today, even the unbeliever is going to know that it has ended and it is over with. That's why that we work and we labor the way that we do. John could not hardly look upon the brilliance of him. He was more brilliant and is more brilliant. When we speak about in the past tense, he's still that same way today. He does not change. I am the Lord. I change not. And he could not, it's almost like, you know, when somebody turns on the lights early in the morning, it's like this. It just kind of startles you. But John could not look upon, because, and I'm not saying that he continued like that, but my friend, the brilliance of Christ's appearance and his countenance was so bright today that, my friend, it outshone even the sun itself. And you know, I think if Christ appeared even today in the midst of Elkton Church, do you know what we would do? You remember me, Lord, don't you? No, we would do the same thing that John did. We would fall down at his feet. We would worship him. We would adore him. Lord, just let me touch your feet. Just let me see what Thomas saw, the imprint of the nails, for it to really go down deep into how that you redeemed me. We would worship him, my friend, with a worship unlike anything that we've ever done. And my friend, we would want to linger and tarry and be with him. Somebody's talking to me, or I'm about to be called out. But we would worship with an adoration unlike anything. He is worthy of all of our adoration, of our admiration. He's worthy of that today. He has paid the price. He has redeemed us unto God out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. And yes, there are going to be people there that we're not going to understand what they're singing. But my friend, we're going to kind of know, because my friend, we'll be singing too. We'll be singing praise unto him, shouting praise unto him, my friend, in each and every dialect that you can imagine, because he'll have the saved of all ages, the saved out of every nation, out of every kindred, and out of every tongue. Whenever John saw Christ, he was walking among the candlesticks. Now, I'm going to take some liberty with the Word of God, and you don't have to agree with me necessarily, but something that just struck me whenever that I read it and whenever that I meditated and thought about it. Those candlesticks, they claim were just, you know, individual candlesticks. But, you know, kind of in my mind's eye, I believe that it was one stem and seven that came out from it, because that stem also represents the Lord Jesus Christ, who holds it together. He holds his church together. He holds this world together. He holds all things according to the word of his power, Hebrews says in one place. And the candlestick would give light, and he is the light of the world. Let me tell you something. That light contrasts today the darkness that we see in our world. It contrasts, my friend, the evil. And I know that it is difficult to live in this day and time. I have no frame of reference that I could advise somebody how to deal with some of the things that are belched out of the very bowels of hell that we are seeing in our society and seeing in our culture. I don't know how to advise you on that today, except that we need to band together and we need to pray for one another and we need to get down into the Word of God to where that it becomes second place to us, or becomes just so much of a part of us, because I don't envision the world getting any better. You might say today, good grief, preacher, that's not very assuring. It is whenever that you've got Jesus walking with you. And I want you to know that He walks in the middle of Elkton Church. He does. Wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, the Bible says He'll be in the midst. He'll be with you. He'll be sitting by you. He'll go out the door with you. He'll be with you when you're driving down the road. He'll be with you when you encounter the craziness and insanity of this world. He's the only thing that we can depend upon today. I will fail you. I'm mortal today, but Christ Jesus never fails. He will stand by you and with you even unto the end. He stands as that lamp. He stands and He's the light of the world. But I also like to think about that lampstand being seven, and I know what it says in here about representing the seven churches of Asia. But you know, I've looked into there's seven dispensations throughout the scriptures. The Adamic, the Noahic, the Abraham, the dispensation of the land of Israel that they're fighting over right now, and right on down the line, and the last one, which is that new covenant that He makes with us whenever that He saves us. And I want you to know all the way from the beginning right down to where He steps down off the mediatorial throne of grace, it's about Christ Jesus. And He has walked throughout the ages, manifest, Paul said, in these last days for us, going to the cross of Calvary, paying the sin debt, making it possible that you and I, the fallen of Adam's race, could be redeemed and be saved today. He saw them walking among them. I think He walks among with us. I believe if we just could roll back somehow this dimension, we would see Him. We would see Him with us, and we would see how He protects us. And you know, I believe today this is just me, but I even believe He sends His messengers to protect us. I think there's battle going on unseen against Satan and all that he can throw. You are a target, but He's going to protect you. He is going to be with you. And He's not only the one that walks among the seven golden candlesticks. We find that as He walks among them, He is robed and He is adorned with the robe of a priesthood. He's our great high priest. Let me say this today, in no disrespect to anybody's belief, you only need one priest. Man, you only need just one. You know who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. He's the intercessor. You might say, how do you know that, preacher? I know that because He saved my soul and He came unto me and He said, I am your mediator. I am your intercessor. I had no idea as a 17-year-old boy what that was. But boy, it came to me. And I'll tell you what, like that song, I've been happy since that time all the day. Jesus satisfies. His eyes are as a flame of fire. I believe He looks right down into the very soul. I used to, and this is nothing against anybody who sits on the back row, because us boys, whenever that we would be in church, we would try to beat everybody to the back row because we thought, well, nobody's going to notice us back here. Nobody's going to see us back here. You know, and we'd trade knives and we'd do this and tell jokes and do all kinds of stuff like that until that we got Dad's glare. And Dad's glare was not like Jesus' flame, eyes of flame and fire, but I knew that I was in trouble when I saw my dad turn around and look at me. But His eyes penetrate something even deeper. He looks down into the soul. He looks down into the very heart. You read about whenever that he walked upon this earth and whenever that he went among men, you'll see something that will come up that says, and Jesus, seeing this rich young ruler, he loved him. You'll see words like that. It's because he looked down in his soul. And oh, to have that kind of love, that you don't look upon the outward appearance of somebody or their behavior or whatever that it is, but you can look and you can, with eyes of Christ, look down and see this individual, this soul has a destiny with God in the judgment. His voice was like the voice of many waters. I don't know how many have ever been to Roaring River down in, I think it's in the southeast, Merrimack. You can hear the thing before that you even get to the springs. It's like a continual roar. They tell me that Niagara Falls is the same way. You know, you can put earbuds in all you want to, you're going to hear that roar. And his voice is like that because it thunders and it sounds out. And even whenever that we're silent in the pulpit, his voice is still going out unto whomsoever will, let him come. He's speaking to the hearts of people today. Come unto me. Come unto me. Be ye saved, Isaiah says in one place. Be ye saved, ye ends of the earth, and look unto me, for I am God, and there is none beside me. He also has not only those piercing eyes, but a brilliance. His hair was as white, and his face was as white, whiter than snow. Well, I thought he looked like a Hebrew. Well, maybe he did whenever that he walked upon this earth, but this is speaking about his purity. It's speaking about his holiness. Whatever that God is, he's the same. God is holy, Christ is holy. We find that the Bible also tells us that his feet was like polished brass, as it had been refined in a furnace. You know, today, whenever that you think about the layout of the tabernacle, right at the very entranceway was what they called a brazen altar. There's where the primary sacrifices were made. And it would be consumed by the fire that was underneath. It would be offered up as a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of Almighty God. But I want you to know Jesus walked through that same type of situation whenever that he tasted of death for each and every one of us. He suffered for our sins. And I want you to know that it refines and it polishes and so on and so forth. And I believe somehow, I don't know if you see it the way that I do. You know, this is just me. But I believe that polished feet, those feet, are going to be one of the things that remind us about what it took for him to bring us to this present moment of time. He has a sharp, two-edged sword. Oh, I'll tell you, I thank God for salvation. I thank God for heartfelt salvation. But I also thank God for the piercing of the gospel that goes down into the heart. It cuts whenever that it affected me, whenever it affected you. It went deep. You felt probably like you'd been stabbed. The type of sword that he was talking about there was just almost a little bit bigger than a dagger. It was for hand-to-hand combat by the Roman soldier. And all it was, what it was for was stabbing. It wasn't to be a protective weapon. It was a weapon of offense. You know, whenever that you come close to him being lost, at some point, a convicting power of the Holy Spirit is going to drive that dagger deep into your heart. And I'm not saying you're going to feel stabbing pains. If you do feel natural stabbing pains, there's a good ER you can go to. But I'm talking about within, down deep, into the soul, into the heart. And my friend, it persists there until that we come to that place that we can turn it all over to Him and say, Lord, somehow I believe. I help thou mine unbelief. This is what John saw. He said in one place, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth, and I believe that with all of my heart. The next great ruler that's going to rule upon this earth is not going to be chosen by the United Nations. It's not going to be chosen by some council. It's not going to be negotiated with diplomacy going back and forth. It's going to be Him that steps off the throne and steps onto the throne of His glory. And I want you to know, my friend, He will reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And if you're here lost today, that can be your hope. It's my hope today. I'm tired of world rule. They messed it up ever since that Cain slew Abel. It was on a downhill slide. But today I'm looking forward to King Jesus. I'm looking forward to the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, that history books would put His name and His life within them and crown Him and acknowledge Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I'm the beginning and I am the end. Now, I heard a story about a little girl that she was going to pray and her daddy was listening to her. So she bowed down and prayed and she goes, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. And her dad said, why did you do that? And he said, God knows my heart. He can pick out the letters. And He can pick out the words. There's a lot of truth in that innocent little story. So today, He is Alpha. He is Omega. He's the beginning and end. He took the keys of death and of hell out of the hands of Him that had no right to it. He reigns supreme. One day, my friend, it's going to come to a close. And remember this description in the first chapter and also in the 19th chapter. If you happen to be standing upon the earth whenever that He comes, you can say, yep, that's Him. That loudmouth preacher at Elkton read about Him in the first chapter of the book of the Revelation, in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. That's Him. That's the one. That's the one who saved my soul. So as we come before You this day, I'm truly thankful for each and every one of you. God has redeemed. God has saved. God has put the witness of His Spirit within your heart and within your soul. And I want to tell you this. I love you today. I love each and every one of you. And I'm related to you. Now, don't go back and run the genealogy trying to figure out where did this guy come from. But we are related through the blood of Christ. We are, and many times that's even closer than our own kindred. Oh, God bless you is my prayer. God be with each one of you is my desire.